Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, it's 8 o'clock Tuesday night. This is Mainstream Metaphysics. I'm Nick Newmont. Thanks for viewing and tuning in. And I want to say thank you to everybody who has been viewing past shows. Our viewership is way up. And really, really appreciate everybody looking in and tuning in. I'm going to talk about a few things that we have coming up, but I do want you to know that live in studio tonight is Mr. Craig Shoemaker. Craig, welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to have you
what's
back.
What's mainstream about this? That's what I want to find out.
Well, I'd
say it's off-stream, wouldn't you?
It's off-stream. Well, the reason we call it mainstream metaphysics is because so much of metaphysics has been sort of out of reach or untouchable. Mm. And it's a little too woo-woo, little too people don't get it, don't understand it.
So you're trying to bring it into the mainstream.
Yes.
That's the intention.
Exactly. So that's why we call it mainstream metaphysics. And it's also a matter of speaking everyday English as opposed to a bunch of metaphysical ease that's not understandable. I mean, we all don't like it if we go to a professional.
Is that why I'm here? I'm dumbing it down? Bringing my Philly. My street Philly to the whole thing.
Well, street Philly, street Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so, oh yeah, that's right.
All right,
we got yins and yins.
Yins downtown. We're going downtown,
and we're going downtown. That's how Philadelphia says it. It's amazing the same state, how different we are the way we speak.
Oh my God, yeah, and we're only 300 miles apart.
I know, right? And it's only one road. It's a long road,
the turnpike.
Yeah, the turnpike. But
oh my God,
yeah, it's a whole different. You ever wonder with that about language though? How accents and different the way people
happens.
Speak, it just, you could go miles away and you just wonder how that happened. You know, they land here and they're speaking from England, they have this beautiful accent, all of a sudden you just go a few miles south to Philadelphia, all of a sudden, hello there, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Come on, call now for this limited time only. Well, I have no idea how that happened.
You know, I understood from when I lived in Pennsylvania that that people in West Virginia, where they say yonder and stuff like that, is actually from Shakespeare, that it's not hillbilly, that the way they speak is very Shakespearean.
Did you hear that from someone from West Virginia that was trying to justify their yonders and accent?
Hello there, what are you doing? Call now for this limited time out.
By the way, folks, you're not seeing Nick here. It reminds me, many people aren't old enough to remember this, reminds me of Aunt Clara from Bewitched, when he's trying to work the technology at the same time he's speaking hosting his show. It's just what's going on here? So yes, we're hearing ourselves twice.
Now I've become like Paul Lynde on Bewitched. Her uncle
Samantha.
Exactly.
My favorite of all time was Paul Lynde.
Oh, he was incredible.
My whole goal in life was that he marry my mother. And we would be the first father and son team on the Hollywood Squares. That was my visual. I'd like Craig and Paul Lynde for the win, please. He'd say, take it, son. It's a sports question. And I wrote him letters. I wanted him to be my dad. And, things manifest in life, not in the exact way you want them to, but many times they come true. Your dreams come true. I ended up on 75 episodes of Hollywood Squares. So it was kind of cool.
Oh, that is cool.
I dreamt that when I was a kid. Now, Paul Lynde's been passed away, but Whoopi Goldberg would let me visit the center square, which was really cool. I wrote him letters. I'd say, how do you get in those squares? Does Tody Fields really have a wooden leg? I was like this little kid. I wanted him to be my dad. And here I ended up on the Hollywood Square. So dreams do come true.
They just
come in different forms. It's never the exact form that you wanted it.
No, because the human mind limits that.
Right.
But it comes out the way it's supposed to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Before we jump into what you and I want to get into, which we didn't when you were on the last show, a few announcements at the Newmont Center in Agoura Hills, which that place pays my bills, of course. We have Friday, January 31st, which you're going to be there. That's the Think Tank Mastermind.
Am I going to be there?
That's what you said.
Oh,
and
great.
I believe everything you say.
I'll put it on my calendar.
Friday,
a lot
night,
going
January
on,
31st.
Nick. You just kind of have to stay on top of me. Okay, so that's what are we doing? That? We're having a mastermind, but is everyone invited? You just invited everyone. I thought it was just the masters of the mind.
Well, if they are masters, they'll be able to get in the door after hours.
Okay, all right. So that's an event that you're putting out to everyone?
No, not everyone. People in the holistic community
right.
that are practitioners
okay.
or people are interested in promoting the community as you and I are.
My wife and I went to the last one, and it was phenomenal.
Thank you.
Because
Thank you
had a variety of people
True.
That are helping others in the transformational world, and I thought it was amazing. I think you should continue it. That's why I did sign up, but didn't sign up. I forgot until you just told me. But I really got a kick out of it. And, you know, just hearing everyone else's experiences on how they got there and how they help other people get there.
Right.
These life guides. And you know, I go about it in a different way as well. And I add that to the community. And you have your
exactly.
thing. And I actually got to take, I participated in your work, which was amazing to me.
Thank you.
I was shocked at what you did to my body. That didn't sound right. That didn't sound right. Sound like you got a Me
Too. Is your
too
wife
tag.
Watching?
She's in bed. We're two ships that we're two ships that pass in the night. She's working so hard at what she does, and she's really killing it. And I'm really, really on a roll working what I do. So we do not see one another that much. Plus, I wear a CPAP mask now, so that's not attractive. Yeah. I look like Bane from Batman, and I'm trying to make love to her, and it's not going to work. Or Hannibal Lecter. Oof. Have the lamb stop crying, Clarice. Come over here and come under the covers. It's not going to work.
No, it's not going to work.
So here I am with you, Nick.
Here we are. We have to ride together. We get to ride back
That's
together.
Right.
We share a lot of laughs. By the way, Craig's wife, Mika, mm-hmm. does this incredible breath work.
She does.
And Mika is at the Newmont Center every Monday morning from 10 to 11.
That's right. That's where she goes.
And yes, I know where your wife is.
I'm glad you do. You know, I found receipts the other day of somewhere she's been Uh-oh. Sneaking to.
Yes.
I said, I've caught you, honey. You know what it was?
What?
She goes to Costco runs without me because she's so Uh-oh. Afraid that I'm going to go load up that. First of all, I go on a sample run, and she's very clinical about her shopping.
Right.
But I'm there. Samples, that's how I get my meal. And then I load up on things that I'm never going to need, the can of paprika that I bought on sale recently.
This big?
Oh, yeah. Big old paprika.
Yeah.
How many deviled eggs can you have in a week? So I caught her. I found the receipts. I was there, what's this? She said, I'm not going to shop with you, Craig. She puts the limits on me.
See, the definition of a miracle is getting out of Costco for less than $200.
Oh,
that's a miracle.
That's not going to happen here. That's not, no. I that's my favorite store of all time. I mean, I grew up with a place called Woolworths.
I remember Woolworths.
They had a pet store in the back with birds with emphysema
yes.
and no wings. It just cough.
I remember.
And shrug. Those were the birds. I used to teach them how to curse. That was a lot of fun.
I
repeat the word.
Smoking.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we got.
Probably what a cracker.
Hey, somebody get me out of this joint. The Philadelphia Woolworths. But
wow.
we didn't have Costco, but this is an amazing store. I don't want to be promoting them. They should give you money now. But yeah, I'm growing up back east, I do think led us down this path of this explorative path that we're both on.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to shed some of the things that we've been taught, which is a whole other world there. That is
That's
not
correct.
A woo-woo world.
That's correct.
That's an entirely different world of, you know, a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, a lot of confusion, a lot of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about you, but I had a lot of years that I had to, it's still the voices of Philadelphia come up. If I
truly,
if I eat a vegetable, hey, look at Joe California over here with a vegetable. So, I mean, it's amazing to me. And then I am married to Mika, who does this breath work. And half the time I do the things with her. I think if my Philly boys could see me now, it's like they would get rid of me. They'd ostracize me from Philadelphia. But that breath work that she does, I literally had an acid trip.
Yeah.
And I've done all the drugs back in the day. And this was higher than I've ever been
mm-hmm.
With breath work.
It's phenomenal.
I could not even, it was like a, what was it, astral projection Something was going on there that I was going, this is, I just went to a whole other, you know, being in spirit. And it was just, I went away from my body and I needed it, by the way. I really needed it because I have a lot of stress going on. A lot of things are happening in my life, which is a problems of abundance. But you know what? Those are the same problems as lack, is you have to be able to have balance with either.
Right.
And that's what, you know, that's what the breath work does. It brings me back to presence.
When I did it with her, what happened was it took me into visions and I got ideas and I got direction of things that I was to do and followed through on.
Because you're like clearing the mechanism out. You know, you're just really getting in touch with who you truly are, as opposed to all the thoughts and, you know, all that busyness that goes on, all the noise. And it really cleared out the noise to the point where, I don't know if something happened chemically, but I really did go on a trip. It was pretty amazing.
If you got into it in a physiological way, it does do things in the bloodstream.
Yeah.
Without getting too technical like that.
Right.
But it does.
Well, actually, we'll talk about it later. I know that it's in your notes there. It's about my Laughter Heals Foundation. That's what we try to achieve is have people, it's a lot of unblocking that takes place. And when you're oxygenating your body and things like that, you are, you know, you're getting into flow. And it's a great way to get to the flow is through laughter, which we'll cover, I'm sure.
We are going
to last time we didn't cover it because you spent the first 20 minutes not on the air.
And then we had to redo and...
Yeah, folks, if you don't know Nick, the poor guy, he's on the information super cul-de-sac. This guy knows nothing about technology. He's pressing buttons. Before we went on the air, I'm like, is my mic on? And he's just
because the other guests usually sit right here.
Oh, they do?
And I, So
am I in the wrong seat?
No, you're fine. Okay. You're fine. Stay right where you are. Okay. A couple things coming up at the Newmont Center real quick. Saturday, February 1st, the day after the mastermind, we have an afternoon with the psychics, with myself, Vox, who is well known in Los Angeles, and LA Talk Radio's own Sheena Metal will be at the Newmont Center. On Sunday, February 16th, we have an event with myself channeling Merlin and my good friend from Lake Arrowhead, Alexander McComb, channeling Golden Arrow. And she will be my guest here February the 11th. Vox will be a guest on my show February 4th. Next Tuesday night, my guest is psychic Jillian Kane. Sheena is here February 25th. We have a lot of good stuff coming up at the Newmont Center now, and I'll talk about that in future weeks. So when I'm in the car with Craig, Craig said to me, what in the world is going on? Is Mercury in retrograde or something? Because everything is just like going crazy.
Yeah, it is. I've been up since 4 in the morning on the go and just collecting money. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, really, though, I cannot believe what's happened in my career life in just since probably the end of December. Well, so that's what I was wondering. Is there something I can attribute this to? I mean, I know specifically, though, what I did to create this.
Which is?
But I'm wondering what the spirits are doing to create this. And is it just a matter of the planets are aligned? I don't know what to attribute this to, but it's unbelievable what's happening.
Well, two things. One is universal for all of us, and I'll talk about that. Then I'll talk about you personally. First of all, folks, for all of you that watch when planets go retrograde. So as of January 11th and until February 17th, when Mercury goes retrograde, all the planets are direct. And what that means is damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. There's nothing impeding us. There's no excuses. Then...
When's that timeline?
From now until February 17th.
I have more that's going to happen here?
More.
I'm gonna catch on fire, Nick.
But wait, there's more.
Okay, there's more. Okay.
The Ginzu steak knives.
All right.
All right. So then Mercury turns direct on March the 10th, and then all planets are still direct until Pluto goes retrograde on April 25th. So from... 10 days into March until almost the end of April, we're in this fantastic period where there's no retrogrades to get in the way. We're just moving forward. So what I'd say to you, me, everybody that's watching and listening, if you have plans, set them in motion. This is the time to act. This isn't the time to think. In Mercury retrograde, you think and review. When everything is moving forward, you move forward. Now, for you, Craig, your birth, you told me when your birthday is in November. So the numerological cycle that you're in is so good for visibility, and it's so good for people, for you to invite backers to help come forward and fund whatever you're working on. Hmm. And it also is a cycle that will make you very much in tune with you. In other words, you're tapping into things in this 12-month period that are above and beyond what you'd normally tap into.
What I've had difficulty in the past, as far as backers go, is the ask. I have a really difficult time letting go of my poor Craig, that I grew up poor, and feeling that I'm worth it for them. So I'm always making deals with them, like side deals. And I'll give you this, and I'll give you that, and I'll give you this, like overselling it.
Right.
And what's happened lately is I'm so confident in what I am selling, the projects we're working on, TV and film, that it's starting to come. And there's a guy, I was just on the phone with him right before I saw you. He's there, I want to get together with you tomorrow. And I think he's bringing a checkbook. And I don't have a problem. You know, I'm not trying to, I know that I'm giving him something wonderful in return. And I never really had that until recently.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's because I'm really clear on, especially the last project we did, this Comedy Kitchen, where it was, everything was in alignment for me. I'm writing a book called Get Out of Line and Into Alignment, because we're in line starting from Pledge of Allegiance and
right.
marching and all that. You're supposed to do this, supposed to do that in school. So I'm writing this book about when I'm in alignment with spirit, with source, whatever you want to call it, something within me, intuition, when I'm in alignment with that, everything turns out the way it's supposed to, and it turns out so much greater than I could even have imagined. And that's what's happening lately, is I just imagine this show with one of my best friends, which, so that's checking one box. I love this guy like a brother, Tony Luke, and he's famous for the restaurant guy from Philadelphia.
Right.
And we did this show. We did it at my friend's winery, beautiful winery, Davis Estates. It's literally the number one winery in Napa. It's incredible. And we did this show called Comedy Kitchen, where I take something else I love to do as mentor. I love to mentor. You know, I guide people and stuff when I, you know, it's like a therapist. And so there's the other thing, is so I teach him comedy and he teaches me food. And then he takes famous comedians and teaches them a dish for the right. judges. And I teach famous chefs and teach them how to be a comedian. You'd be surprised how good they were, as a matter of fact. But so everything lined up with this the way I want. I love food. I love comedy. I love people. I love brotherhood. And everyone on the set, you know, created this vibration that was incredible. And sure enough, we're now going to be on Amazon Prime, 13 episodes, and people are coming to us to work with us on this. And that show leads to all the others now. And nice. In all of these, what I'm doing now is, if I don't like you, so to speak, if you are an energy that I'm not picking up, that's the one good thing that's happened in my life, is I really can feel people's energy. Good comedians are we're very intuitive and psychic. If I'm not picking that up anymore, I'm not going to make deals with the devil, because I think that, oh, they have something that I need, or they have money that I can't get. And in the alignment, you go, oh, I'm going to trust this, that this is going to work out exactly the way it's supposed to work out. So then all these other people show up, haven't seen them in years or whatever it is, because they are also in alignment with themselves. And that's when you really are going to get your gold. And that's what's happening lately. It's like crazy. I'm working with a guy we're shooting in Philadelphia. The guy, I knew him in seventh grade.
Jeez.
Seventh grade. He was shocked. I have this memory. I go, yeah, you're left-handed and you had a basketball court in your backyard. Your brother's heavier than you and the other brother's blonde. He's going, how do you know all this? I remembered all this from seventh grade.
That's
a long time ago. But here, it's apparently we were meant to work on this project back in seventh grade. And he was a genius. But he was so smart, he had to leave our school. He was smarter than the teachers. Yeah. So now he has this project. He brought it to me, and I can offer what I've learned how to do best to his project and produce this thing and take it to its fruition. And it's just crazy. I was on the phone with him all day today. I mean, it's just been such a wonderful experience just this year. You know, right. I can't get over. That's why I was asking you before, is how much of this is stars alignment and how much of it is just the Craig's life.
Combination
of
both.
That this is where I'm meant to be right now. Cleared away a lot of baggage. I got rid of people in my life. And if anyone can hear this, this is one message I want to get across. I'm one who paints. I see people and I paint red flags green. I go into denial. I go, because I think I don't have security in myself that I can do this without them and their skill set. And what I see is a match. I make it a match. I've done this in relationships, you know, with women as well. One of my marriages was that way, where I'm just going, oh, I'm going to fit her into this idea as opposed to who they are. And I fit these people into this idea and form this partnership. And it was going. And I never was noticing all along that they were giving nothing to the partnership.
Mm-hmm.
I was calling it a partnership. They never denied it. And suddenly they came to me and kind of severed the relationship. I went, whoa. And at first I defended myself like little Craig does. I'm like, hey, look at all I did for you. And it was literally their rejection. I was being protected from going further down the line with them. So I wouldn't have what's happening today. What happened was I released them, or they released me first, and I defended it and fought it. And I was like, how dare you? That kind of thing. And, you know, and then suddenly this freedom happened, and I cut them off of, I actually cut everyone who was involved in that business. I cut all, no more Facebook. I don't know. I don't want to see what they're doing. I don't want to hear from them. I don't want any of their energy in my life. And wow, anything that I thought was going to happen with them is now happening for me and tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we have to let go of these ideas of people and surrender. And then there's the victory, is the surrender of how it should be and how you think it's going to be. And then show up for something mindful and something you're present for and something that's truly you. And that's what's been happening for me. Like, it's literally a miracle. I can't even comprehend it. It's got me up. I have 4 hours of sleep now. So I should get some more sleep. But maybe the CPAP machine will start working for me. I can't stand that damn thing. Yeah. Oh, have you ever tried this thing?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's just,
I do sleep, thank God.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What? How do you get? What's your secret to sleep? We're around the same age. I mean, what? Right. What the hell? I used to have a party to me was an all nighter. Now a party for me is if I don't get up to pee at night. That's a party for me. So, how do you do it?
Well, I learned something a few years ago, and this is something to share with everybody, and it's called a release the day meditation.
Oh, okay.
All right, so, and I'll capsulize. When we have busy days, and sometimes we deal with people that are difficult or circumstances or something that are rough, challenging, whatever. So when you get into bed, one thing is people either go to bed too wired or they go to bed when they're ready to collapse and they don't fall asleep in the normal way. It's like passing out. It'd be like having a couple cocktails before you go to bed and you fall asleep. And your blood sugar drops and does all that, then you wake up at 3 a.m.
That's what happens to me. I pass out, like watching TV or something, and then I wake up, and then I can't get back to sleep.
Right. So this will help. So when you get into bed, take yourself back to the morning when you woke up, and imagine you watch yourself through the day from when you got up, like you're watching on the DVR. Fast forward your day, and as soon as you come to a moment that was tough, challenging, unpleasant, reframe it. See it differently so it has the outcome that you want, so that you literally feel better about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward again. And for every challenging moment where it's like, ugh, see it differently so that you feel better. And then finally, you get to a point where you see yourself right before you got into bed and see yourself how you got into bed, walked into bed, and you literally, as you see yourself, lie down into yourself. Because when you do what I'm talking about, you create a little bit of an out-of-body experience because you're relating to the vision. And then you get into yourself. You'll sleep so much better, and you'll wake up in the morning with a better attitude because you're not taking all your crap of the day to bed with you.
That was so much and so confusing that you actually put me to sleep. You should actually give me, I should play that monologue and that'll help me sleep. I'm going, okay,
I am a hypnotherapist. It's what I do.
Let's see, I DVR and then I fast forward and I go back to something that I and turn it around and make it into something
See all the rough moments differently.
Okay.
Then climb into bed into yourself.
This is great. This gives me something to do besides obsessing over something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're changing your thinking before you go to bed.
Good.
And also remember, everyone, 30 minutes before you go to sleep, we refer, as hypnotherapists, we refer to as magic time. Mm. That's when the brain begins to slow down and you're very suggestible. What's the worst thing you do before you go to sleep? Watch the 11 o'clock news.
Yeah, I teach that I teach Laughter Heals. The news is no bueno.
Not before sleep.
Not before any time.
Well, no, it's not.
It's really not good for you.
No, it's not.
The whole objective is to keep you in fear.
Yep.
And then they have the commercials that handle the problems they just gave you.
Exactly.
We're going to give you anxiety, and then we're going to have an insurance company that's going to handle your anxiety because you might die from the anxiety. And also now we have a drug that's going to handle it with side effects, and then the side effects lead to more anxiety because you're thinking, I'm going to have diarrhea now because I took this pill. And now it's a whole cycle that they have you in, then back to the news, back to the fear, back to the mayhem, back to the chaos, and that's exactly where they want you.
Exactly.
So you just have to stay off the news. Now, I must tell you, we talked about this on the way in, I am not a news guy. As a matter of fact, they call it liberal news. I don't believe that because it's all sponsored by, you know, these corporations, these patriarchal corporations. It can't be liberal news because therefore they'd shoot themselves in the foot if they did an investigation on like a Monsanto or whatever it is.
Oh, man.
They can't do that. So therefore, they're not my liberal news because I wanted them to investigate fracking and corporations and things like that. So they won't do that. They're choosing the news. They also choose who we obsess over. And, you know, I'm really into equality with minorities and women and things like that. You ever notice that the you know, they'll have a kidnapped child or teenager or even young adult. It's always a good looking. They cast these young women. They cast them. They're good-looking, blonde, white women. That you ever notice this? So I even know their names. Natalie Holloway and Ramsey.
Right. Yes.
Lacey Peterson. We know their names because they have chosen that this is the news that you need to obsess over. And now you're involved in the drama and you're picking sides. You know, it becomes a drama that unfolds that they...
It's like watching The Bachelor.
Yeah, and that's what they've done. And they cast these things, you know, to get your attention. And then the drama unfolds, and then the tears, and then that's how they keep you. And it's just amazing to me, the cycle that we get in. So I must get off the news, but I have to admit that lately I have gone on the news because the president that we have now, I'm not going to get political. Don't get your panties in a wad, folks. Don't get all your...
We're cool. We're cool.
We're cool. This is talking... We're talking about someone that you... I don't care if you are his brother. You're related to him. If you love him to death, you have to admit that he is an outlier. There's nobody that's ever been an outlier. But there's no one that ever has been in our history of the country that has got us jostled like this man has done, for better or for worse.
Right.
But my thing is, like, I want to see, every time I open up Twitter, I go, what did he do? What did he do today?
It's like the Truman Show.
It's amazing to me. And just like I was saying, how they pick the, who's ever been kidnapped or killed or whatever it is. It's the same thing. It's like you're doing an investigation of this guy. He's going, what's he doing, and why did he do it? And then you have your theories, and then you're getting in. We all have gangs that we join, and there's the gang that's against them, there's a gang that's for them, there's a gang. And it's a tribal society. I'm watching this tribal warfare that's going on, and it is fascinating, but I've got to step away from it because it does affect my sleep, and it affects my work.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So I don't talk about him. I never talk about him on stage. I don't talk about him. I don't even think I said his name here today. I happen to know him personally, and I know a lot of people know him personally, so that's the other thing is I know some inside things about them, so that's also fascinating. I'm thinking, what are they going to find out today that I already know and everyone who knows them knows? You know what I mean? How many people are going to find it out? When's it going to land? And it's just, and then the bottom line on it to me is it's in the universe, it's part of the universe hitting a spiritual bottom. No matter if you're for or against him, we are hitting a bottom somehow, some way. And then at the end of the day, then we have to evaluate our own values. Are we sacrificing our values to be in a tribe? Whether it's religion, whether it's a political party,
right.
Are we sacrificing who we truly are? When you're in alignment, are you letting go of that just to be part of the tribe, just to not be in a fight, not to be in conflict, or to be in conflict, whatever you're comfortable with? Are we doing that? And I think, just like a drunk, we're going to hit the bottom. We're either going to go join them at the end of the bar and tell bad jokes and, you know, racist, be racist and things, or are we going to be who we are? And we're all wonderful, beautiful people. You know, we're born that way. We're born with a light. Are we going to let the light shine? Are we going to keep dimming it and compromising our own integrity just to keep joining with people and not, you know, I'm kind of enjoying, I used to be a people, like I had to have groups that I was in.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I don't know, but I think you're this way too. I kind of like the independent guy. It's a little lonely sometimes, but you're not in any group, right?
Nope.
Not a joiner of a group. Never have been.
I used to be in, I would
try it.
Networking groups periodically.
Yeah, and even that, you're going, oh my God, these phonies. Now, I just find that so many groups, there's no group that doesn't have phonies. There's no group that doesn't have people that aren't in.
And it's not the problem of the group. It's the individuals.
It's the individuals that kind of like make the group into that. But if you, I've never liked groups, and I tried fraternities. I joined a fraternity. I shouldn't say plural. You only join one. You're only going to get whacked in the ass once by a paddle. But I mean, actually, when they were whacking me in the ass with a paddle and making me, you know, do things that I'm going, what are you doing? I remember thinking to myself, what are you doing to join this? This group of people so I can, you know, have beer on Saturdays at the keg party. What are you doing? But I will sacrifice myself to do that, my true self, to be in these ideas that we have, the ideas I had with my former marriage, like the ideas that I had, you know, joining these things that we do not resonate with. It's a recipe for failure, for unhappiness.
And where we are right now is we're so polarized.
Yes.
And we have to find a way back to the middle.
Right.
That's the solution.
But it's an individual. It's an individual.
Right.
Each individual needs to do it. We're not going to do it as a group.
That's
because
right.
whatever political party you're in, look at how many Democratic candidates are there. It's like, so you know, what's the difference between them? You know what I mean? And how are we one? You're not one. You're not one party because you all have different views and different policies. And so you're sitting there going, well, which ones do I connect with? And that's what we're going through right now. We're going through this chaos. So that's what's fascinating. That's why I watch the news. I'm not going to tonight. I'm going to try to stay away.
Good.
And just, you know, connect with you here tonight and maybe offer some wisdom, some gained wisdom to people. We'll talk about laughter heals.
Right.
You're not going to let this hour go this time without talking about laughter heals.
No, in fact, that's where I want to segue. So as we talk about polarity, which creates tension and stress.
Correct.
And a lot of people, you can see people, how they're just so wired.
Yeah.
So let's bring in laughter heals.
And by the way, it is wired. We are wired.
Oh, we are.
From birth. By parents and society, environment, we are wired. This is what you do to be accepted. This is what you do to get the pat on the back, to get the medal, to get these representations of how they deem you to be in line with them. And it's all fear. Everybody's afraid to go be the individual. We're not taught that. We're wired not to be an individual. So we are all unique individuals, aren't we? Where's the uniqueness? Why are we not promoting uniqueness? Right. Do you ever hear anybody promoting uniqueness?
Not very often.
No. Come join. Here's what it'll cost you to join.
Because like when you were in school, if a kid transferred, that kid was different. If a kid was different, how was he talked about or she? The way he's weird.
Yeah, no, weird. Oh yeah, you stayed away different. From. Them. Oh yeah, they're odd and they're nuts, and you know they go into another class.
Mm-hmm.
One time I was I never talk about this, but a little confession. I had a thing with I couldn't stand that I hadn't hit puberty. I was 5'1" in high school. I'm like 6'2" now. And I was 5'1", and I didn't hit puberty. And back then, you wanted pubic hair, and I didn't have any. So I knew that swimming class was coming up. Uh-oh. And I knew that here's the self-obsession that I was in. I thought the girls would see when I wore my bathing suit that there was no hair coming out of it. So I was there. There's no way I'm swimming in front of these girls. So I faked that I had problems, and they put me in the II section, the individual instruction. So, you know, those, you know,
yes.
Like half of the people have like helmets on. And I faked my way into that class, and for some reason, they gave us bow and arrows. I have no idea. The people that are having a hard time with life, they give them bow and arrows. And I was, anyway, I don't know where I digress. But laughter healing has meant so much to me. And here's something I never talked to you about before. Being around laughter. And that energy and that vibration. And again, I'm not being woo-woo. This is just a fact.
Right.
Being around it will heal you. Look at the comedians that have lived so long. Bob Hope, and George Burns, and Jack Benny, and Phyllis Diller, and Red Buttons. I mean, the list is endless.
Long.
If they don't, you know.
Bob Newhart's still alive.
Bob Newhart is. John Rickles. And they perform till the end. But they're surrounded by this beautiful, beautiful light, levity. And that will keep you well. And it will keep you actually having hope in life because everything else is like depressing and stress-filled and all that. Laughter's the great relief. It's the great medicine. But how many people emphasize that? How many times on television? You think the drug companies want you to know that you have a pharmacy inside of you can access at any time? They don't want you to know that.
They don't.
As a matter of fact, what are they doing now with the government? They restrict the comedians. They know we're truth-tellers. So they actually censor us. There's an FCC that's only about that, about some language, which is all, you know, it's up to the individual to say, no, that language doesn't bother me. But no, we join the group to say that language is offensive. You see what I mean?
Right.
It's like, so they're censoring us, our freedoms of expression. So that's one thing that I have no idea. So if you can't have freedom of expression, can't find the laughter as much as... And, obviously, they're pounding us with negativity and darkness and murder and rape, molestation, schoolyard shootings. You think I'm going to F you up with an F-bomb? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Which is worse. But they focus on our language and the things that we say. And now there's this whole other group that's overly sensitive. So now you have to be politically, I hate the word politically correct, but you have to be correct. And people ooh. You know why they're ooing? Right. You know why they ooh in the audience if you tell a joke? They go, ooh. Right. You know why they do it?
Right.
Because they're trying to look good in front of their neighbor. Like they don't approve of that. It's selfish. I'm like,
what?
Keep it to yourself.
That ooh,
yeah.
What you just talked ooh. About, is there's a lot of judgment.
That's exactly right.
Rampant.
Exactly
now.
Right. So they're joining the other judges. Like let's all judge together. Let's all give one big ooh. And then, and by the way, laughter is contagious. So is the ooh, and so is negativity. It's all contagious. So, but if you have laughter, which I do in my Laughter Heals sessions, it was all spawned because I've been at this for many years doing comedy, and I did it for other reasons than philanthropic. That's for sure. I was, I thought I could get the waitress's number, whatever it was. And then things shifted when I was. I had all these people that come up to me and they said they would tell me that they had babies that were conceived and they were told they couldn't conceive. And after my show, the guy goes home, he tries to be the love master.
Yeah, baby.
You know, they do the whole thing and then they laugh and they're loose and they're not trying to have a child. If you're trying to have a child, you're not going to have a child. You
right.
know, now the conception's not going to happen. Apparently, all these babies were conceived. One sent me a photo. The baby was conceived in the parking lot of the Brea Improv. They couldn't even wait to go home. And the kid came out, big smile on her face. To this day, by the way, about probably 18 years later, they still come to my show.
That's great.
The people that had the baby. Anyway, I was with one of my buddies, one of my Philly buddies. He's a comedy guy. He wrote Cool Runnings, Little Giants, Michael Goldberg. And real bonded we were with through laughter. And he His wife was ovulating. We're shooting this movie, my first movie, and he was directing it, the Love Master movie. And she was ovulating, his wife, and I said, go do the Love Master. And baby Kayla was born.
Wow.
But then a year and a half after that, he got brain cancer.
Oh.
And that was my, I call it my ha-ha moment. I said, what can I do for him? And that's when I really did a deep dive in the exploration of the Norman Cousins and all the people at the forefront of this, Patch Adams. Like, really, is laughter really medicine? You know, I mean, like, it was my quandary, and I went out to prove it. And all the research shows that what it does, it relieves stress, which is a big cause of disease. So I just implore people to laugh. So I had these laugh for life therapy sessions. I do a guided laughitation. I've never done one with you, have I?
Not on me. No, I've witnessed it.
Isn't it wild?
Yeah, it is.
And you watch people and you just, and you're, and no jokes. You just make a choice. Just like you meditate, you can laughitate. Right. So I developed this program, and Golds, that's his, my buddy's name, he showed up for all of them. They gave him 3 months to live with his brain cancer. He shows up, goes to many comedy shows. I gave that as a prescription. And he lived 15 years past that prognosis.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. And like, there it was before me. And he had a rough go, but his daughter at least got to see him. She was only a year and a half when it happened. And she got to see him for all those 15 years. And he had struggles, a lot of struggles. He had seizures and everything else. And we always saying goodbye to him. And then one day at the hospice, I went and visited him. He was in a coma. And I really did know instinctually this was it. And he was in a coma. I said, Gold, I don't know what to do anymore. You know, I've done everything for you. I said, you're helpless. I said, you want me to give you handy? I said, I've never done anybody by my own. I'm really good. I said, you want me to give me? And he came out of a coma and he goes, and he laughed. And that was my parting joke to him, and he passed away 2 days later.
Wow.
But I love that I made him laugh one time. And when, and his funeral, we had a funeral. We made fun of him.
Yeah.
We roasted him. We kept saying he was going to appear. I mean, it was so much. And his daughter got to know him through our eyes before he was ever sick. And the key to that man was levity and laughter and bringing pleasure to other people. And that's what I want to do with my life. That's the life purpose.
So if we reverse the equation where we hear all the time how stress kills, then the antithesis of stress, which is levity,
yeah,
relaxation, laughter,
yeah,
then that allows us to live.
That's exactly right. I have a slogan, live to laugh. You live to laugh and you laugh to live.
Right.
And that's we just don't give it enough. It almost gets categorized, like you were talking earlier about the woo-woo. One of my jobs is to, that I've accepted for myself, is you got the woo-woo people. I've hung out with them. A lot of people, you're going, that's a little off there, pal. and a lot of woo-woo people think you need to sit on a rock in Sedona. You need to read a certain book. You have to have your thumb attached to your, you know, when you're, but everything has to be just the way, you know, that they said, you know, centuries ago from another country. And it doesn't connect with me. But so there's the woo-woo people, those people. And I've actually performed for them, and they're serious. I'll do a joke about, hey, my dad left when I was born. Something I said, wah. You know, a lot of people laugh at that. It's a dark joke, but they would go, oh, and they feel sorry for me. So my goal is to build a bridge from those people to the comedians who are cynical and sarcastic. A lot of people are that. So my bridge is to build a bridge from the woo-woo to the ha-ha. Have everyone unite together in the middle with just laughter and joy.
So every Monday night, I have this progressive meditation group that I lead, which eventually leads to channeling. And we just did the third week. And I always make jokes, and because it loosens people up.
Yeah.
And it's not up there. It's not like I'm doing a full routine.
No.
Which is ridiculous. But I do say funny things, and I tease people and all that kind of stuff. And it's funny that last night there was a woman in the group who has not attended before, and she is more woo-woo. Now, you get to know me, I'm as metaphysical as they come.
Woo-woos are very serious. That's the one thing about the woo-woos.
And you could tell that this woman, and I know what she does within the, let's say, at the practitioner industry. I know what she does.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so tight.
Yeah.
You know, and
in their heads. Yes. In their heads, yes. Because they're reciting what they've learned as opposed to sharing their experience. There's a big difference. That's made a difference in my comedy career, even. I'm coaching a guy just today. I was talking to him. I said, yeah, you're in your head. Tell me the story. Tell me the story. Share with me your experience within this story instead of telling me, have you ever thought about this? Tell me how you thought about it. And tell me what happened to you that you thought about it. And when you do that, it cuts out so much baggage and so many hurdles mm-hmm. and so many fears and so many doubts and worries. You're cutting through it. And now you have an access point, all based on laughter and levity. And that's what it does. You're breathing deeper, right? What's it doing to your face? You know, in Asia, they have people that they ride their bikes with chopsticks in their mouths. You know why they do that?
No.
Because it forms a smile, and a smile releases healing enzymes. And that's what they do in a natural sense. That's what they do. And they have a smile on their face.
Right.
And your body doesn't know that you're not getting a joke, that there's not a joke. Your body doesn't know. It just knows that it's just like breathing.
Right.
Body doesn't know why you're breathing. You just breathe. And that's what you do with laughter.
So we have about 5 minutes left in the show.
Jeez, did it go that fast?
That's what she said.
Oh my God. see, he's funny, folks. Go see Nick Newman at the Newman Center. He's going to open up with some jokes.
I'll be here all life.
Oh, there you go.
That's why I'm here. So anyway, what I'd like you to do is give an example of laughter heals.
Okay.
Okay? Because so they...
You mean the laffitation?
The laffitation, yes.
All right. So what I do is I have people close their eyes, just like you're meditating. Take a big, deep breath in. And we're going to do a quick one. This is a really quick one. So you take a big, deep breath. Everybody breathe with me. Just breathe in through your nose. And now, instead of breathing out, you release the very spiritual word is ha.
Ha.
Ha. How cleansing is that? You got hallelujah, Allah, Buddha, Hare Krishna. Ha. Ha. Ha is a very cleansing word. That's it. Let out a giggle. And get out of our heads. And just start giggling, and you'll be surprised. Okay, let's do another. And then just let me give me three ha's on this one. Ha ha ha! You see the giggle? How it's contagious. Mm-hmm. Just sometimes you're just laughing at you're doing it. You laugh how silly life is, and you just go, "Oh my God, what am I doing watching this show? It's 9 o'clock at night. I should be doing something else. I'm listening to these kooks." Okay, now let's extend that even further. Ready? Okay, that's a really brief one. Now, yeah, take a deep breath. Let that out. Let's do one more. All right, now you're loose. How do you feel if you had a scale of 1 to 10? You were really stressed at a 10. Well, you're down to a 5 now. Down to a 4. Just feel yourself.
That really
feel your skin.
Oh, it feels good.
Yeah, feel your heart rate. Everything is moving.
Blood's flowing.
Blood is flowing. Urine flow, which is a wonderful way to live your life. Now, here's the one that I added to it. I'll just give you a real quickie. You say out loud what's really bothering you, what's really in your way, what's really blocking your freedom. Ready? So we'll do it. 15 years later after the divorce, my wife just took us to court again. My kids, I have no money for them anymore because of all the court costs. I can't get my kid in DeVry Institute. All right, now.
Right.
Okay. A lot of serious people are going, oh, that's serious. That's divorce. Oh, my goodness. What's he saying? No, I feel free. I feel free because it's okay. Life is meaningless. It's all the meaning you put to it. You attach me, attachment, and you let things go. I'll give you one more little thing. That laughter is love. It's an acronym. Love, acceptance, understanding, gratitude, and humility. And that's what laugh is. That's what it means to me. And we got to, you know, immerse that's ourselves nice. In love. Acceptance is a key to everything. Mm-hmm. Accepting things for the way they are. Understanding why something is the way it is, and having a better understanding of the human condition, a better understanding of your partner, of whoever it is. Gratitude is really, really important. We must remain grateful, and that leads us to humility.
Right.
And by the way, laughter, the best thing about laughter is the humility. It's making fun of ourselves. Don't take ourselves seriously.
Truly.
That the H is the key to everything, to me, is to have that humility, to be humble, and let go. We're all the same. We're all one on the planet. Let's not pretend we're any less than anyone or any more than anyone. Mm-hmm. We're all connected in that way. And if we can get to more laugh, then we'll be doing all right.
Wonderful.
That was my brief. And you can get me at Craig at CraigShoemaker.com, and I will guide you. I have a life guidance that I do individual and have helped people in. As a matter of fact, my book is about that. It's called Love Mastered, A Digital Journey to Love and Happiness, where I helped a woman 3,000 miles away for over a year. We exchanged private messages on Facebook, and I got her. She ended up married. I ended up fixing her up 3,000 miles away. And that was what happened at the end of the book. But I listened to my intuition, which is that's what laughter leads to, is your better intuition. You can listen to yourself and not all the voices from out there.
And Love Mastered is available at the Newmont Center. We have it for sale.
Really?
Yes, we do. We have copies of it.
You do? I don't even have a copy. I'm going to have to go steal a copy from the Newmont
Center. We have five copies of Love Mastered.
Do you really? And you get them at the on Amazon, too, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
So either way. We're almost at a point where we've got to check out. Craig, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Love
CraigShoemaker.com. I've got some workshops coming up, so just stay in touch with me. Just write a note, say, hey, Craig, it was worth that drive that you made with Nick. And I listened and I really connected with it. I'd love to go further. And so just write me a little note, Craig at CraigShoemaker.com. Go to the website and sign up, and you'll see I'm actually performing, you know, come see a show, right? You've been to the show, Nick.
Many.
Yes.
And
how do you?
So good. Felt so good.
Best relief you can have, right?
Absolutely. Craig, thanks so much. We've got to run. I'm Nick Newmont. This has been Mainstream Metaphysics, and you can catch me at, you can email me at nnewmont@gmail.com. See you next week with Jillian Kane. Thanks so much. God bless you all.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.